We read from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 26. Gospel according to Matthew, reading from chapter 26, verses 36 to 46. Let us hear the word of God. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping, because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of men, into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." We pray for God's blessing to rest upon his holy word. Word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, reading verses 1 to 13. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think that you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you, except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. We thank God for His holy and infallible word, and we pray for the blessing of His Spirit to accompany its preaching to us. Amen. In our morning services, we have been studying the Sermon on the Mount, and recently the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We come this morning to the final petition of that prayer, recorded for us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I wonder if each one of us were to be asked what we fear, what would we answer? What are you afraid of? We may be afraid of many things. Some of us may be afraid of flying, or afraid of heights, or afraid of being closed in to a narrow space. We may be afraid of pain, or of death, or of being lonely. We may be afraid of embarrassment, or of losing our job, or many other things. But there is one fear that we should all have, and it's a fear that should never leave us. We should be afraid of sinning. We should be afraid of sinning. We should fear sin. We should fear the devil. We should realize how much he hates us, and how clever he is, and how powerful, and how he really desires to lead you and me into sin. And that is one of his chief goals in all his activities, to make Christians or professing Christians to sin. And we should fear that. It should haunt us. We should let not a day pass without being afraid of sinning. We should think of the ugliness of sin in a Christian, someone for whom Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has died and suffered on the cross to do away with sin. He has bought us with his own blood. And when we sin willingly, that is a foul and ugly thing. We think of the dishonor which it brings to Christ's cause. If you or I, a professing Christian, falls into sin, the shame we're casting on our Savior. We should think of the hurt and the harm which our sin can often cause to other people. We are put on this earth to love our fellow men and to help them. But almost always when we sin ourselves, we hurt others and we harm them. we should reflect on the way our sin separates us from God. We cannot be close to God when we are cherishing sin, when we are practicing sin. There is a barrier between us. We should think of the unhappiness which sin brings us. A professed Christian who is living in sin cannot be happy. They can smile, they can pretend, but they cannot be happy. Perhaps some of you listening to me this morning are unhappy. And you're unhappy because you are sinning. Some sin has got its grip on you and gained the victory over you, and you've given into it. And you're persisting in this sin, and it's causing you unhappiness. And when that happens to us, friends, we've got to come back to the Lord's Prayer. And we've got to go back to the petition we looked at in our previous study. Forgive us. And we've got to ask God to forgive us. And then we have got to go on to this petition that we're thinking about this morning. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a petition, a prayer that we may be kept from sin, that we may be preserved from sin. In this petition, we bring together our weakness and God's power in a creative fusion. And we say, Lord, I don't want to sin, but I know how weak I am. And because I am so weak, I am asking you not to lead me into temptation, not to bring me into a time of trial. And when I am in such a situation, I'm asking that you will deliver me. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It is easy enough to say these words, to pray this prayer, but how can we know that we really mean them? How can we be sure that we are not hypocrites? That we are really in earnest, and with all our heart and soul we mean this petition when we say, Lord, I mean this with my whole heart. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. I'd like to set briefly before you this morning three marks of someone who truly fears sin. Three marks of someone who is in earnest about this prayer, who really means these words when they pray them. It's not just an empty expression. And the first mark of a sin-fearer is wholehearted avoidance of temptation. Wholehearted avoidance of temptation. This is half the battle. We show our sincerity not just by our prayers, but by our actions. What I mean is that if we place ourselves in circumstances where we are likely to be tempted, then we're not serious about this prayer. If we put ourselves in the middle of temptation, beside temptation, near temptation, then there's not much point in praying to God, lead us not into temptation. Because we are going into temptation ourselves. We're asking God to do something that we're not prepared to do. Too often, subconsciously, we want to sin. We don't admit that to ourselves. It's down deep in our psyche. We want to sin, and so we invite temptation. We put ourselves into a position where we are going to be tempted, and then we fall to temptation. And then we're surprised, and we're upset, and we're sorry. But you cannot honestly say, Lord, don't lead me into temptation, unless you yourself are prepared to avoid temptation and to do everything you possibly can to stay away from temptation. In other words, friends, we must watch ourselves. The Lord Jesus says we must watch and pray. We must realize that the devil is trying to bring us down. The devil hates you. The devil is watching you and me. The devil wants to bring you into sin. Do you realize that? Are you aware of his presence and of his activity? We must get to know ourselves and our own weaknesses. We must say to ourselves, what are my besetting sins? What are my areas of frailty? What remnants of indwelling sin are still in my heart and life that I have to be extremely careful about? That I have to watch over, that I have to guard against. In other words, we're not to be naive about ourselves. We're not to think, well, now I'm a Christian, all is well. That's not so. Each one of us has our weak spots, the chinks in our armor, the place where the devil can get in on us. What are they? Do you know your weak spots? Do you know your besetting sins? We need to be aware of them. We need to be suspicious of ourselves. We need to remember that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and we are great con artists and confidence tricksters, and we deceive ourselves about ourselves. And we hide the truth about ourselves from ourselves, as well as from other people. And we don't sometimes face up to the sort of people we are. We're not realistic. We're not honest. We don't face up to our weaknesses and our sins. And if we're to avoid temptation, we have to know what to avoid. We can't just blunder foolishly through the Christian life, hoping that we don't bang up against some temptation. We should take practical steps to avoid temptation as much as we can. Perhaps you're tempted by lustful thoughts, by unclean desires. That's a very common temptation. You have to sit down and say, in what circumstances do I find that I am particularly tempted? Is it when I'm on my own? Then I should try not to be on my own as much. Is it when I'm watching television? Is it when I'm with a certain person? Is it when I'm looking at a magazine? What are the circumstances? Then you can take steps, simple, practical steps, to avoid those causes of temptation, to try to eliminate them from your life. Perhaps you're tempted by money. You can give away your money. You can put yourself in a position where you're not going to be tempted so much. Perhaps you're tempted by unbelief. The Word of God says you should ask yourself, when does unbelief attack me? What are the circumstances? In what situation do I begin doubting God? And then try to do something about that. And try to read those passages of Scripture that will fortify your faith and strengthen your faith. Perhaps you're tempted by gossip. You've got a lust to hear the latest news. And that has become an addiction with you. It has got a grip on you. You've got to be realistic and face up and say, I'm turning into a gossip. And I could dress it up in all sorts of pious language as about being interested in people and so on, but I'm a gossip. And that's a sin. And it's condemned in the Word of God, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to say to my friends, don't tell me the news. I don't want to hear it. Perhaps you're tempted by indiscipline. You can't take time each day to read the Bible and pray. You're just too indisciplined. Go to a good friend and say to them, I know this is what God wants me to do, and I want you to check up on me each week. I want you to come to me and say, have you had your time with God each day? Check me out on it. A wholehearted avoidance of temptation. We don't see that in modern Christians. They don't pursue holiness. They don't make it their aim. They put themselves in an undisciplined, lax, worldly frame of life. They live in a worldly way, in a self-indulgent way. And then they're surprised when they're tempted and fall. But of course they're going to be tempted. They're putting themselves in the way of temptation. The first thing we need to do is to avoid temptation as much as we possibly can. That's not the whole answer. The monks of the Middle Ages found out that it's not the whole answer. You can go and live in a little hut in the wilderness, you'll still be tempted. But it's a help. C.H. Spurgeon told about a rich nobleman who was looking for a new coachman. And he had three candidates for the post. And he said, I want someone who is a really good driver. I want to know how far you could drive the carriage to a cliff edge and not go over. The first man said, I could drive to within 2 feet of the cliff edge and I wouldn't go over. The next man said, I could drive within 6 inches of the cliff edge and I wouldn't go over. And the third man said, I would stay as far away from a cliff edge as I could possibly get. Spurgeon said, you're the man I want to drive my coach. How near the cliff edge are we going as Christians? What risks are we running as Christians? We're flirting with the world. We're flirting with worldliness. We think we can get away with it. We're going very near the cliff edge. It's a dangerous way to live. Wholehearted avoidance of temptation. But then secondly, this prayer, the mark of a sincere, is prayer for providential keeping from temptation. Prayer for providential keeping from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Last summer in Portrush, I saw a child dancing along a high, sharp stone wall, as we all like to do when we were children. And this little boy was quite carefree and happy. There was quite a nasty fall from the wall down onto rocks. And the surface of the wall was very uneven, and he was dancing along quite happily. But his father was walking behind him with his hand out like that and just occasionally giving him a little nudge and holding him. The child was safe. The child was safe. And I thought, that's really like us. We are walking through dangers every day. We don't know they're there. We don't know they're there. We haven't a clue. But God, our Father, is walking beside us, His hand's there. He's just keeping us. He's just keeping us. God preserves us daily. God answers this prayer daily in hundreds of ways, in thousands of ways. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. God is answering that prayer every moment of our lives, again and again and again, and we're not aware of it. We don't realize it. It's a bit like when we're going on a car journey. Sometimes if it's an unfamiliar road or a long journey, we'll bow our heads and we'll ask God to keep us safe. It's something we should always do, I suppose. And every time you drive your car up to your house or into the drive, you should give thanks to God. God's hand has been upon you at every bend in the road, at every mile, preserving you, keeping you, and protecting you. And that's true also of our spiritual condition. God is keeping us. God is keeping us. God is preserving us. We are walking blithely through a host of temptations, and God isn't allowing them to touch us. God's providence is watching over our lives, guiding us and keeping us. If God took his hand away, we couldn't live a day as Christians. Sometimes God's protection seems disappointing and unwelcome. When I was 17 years of age, I suffered a great disappointment. I failed to get a scholarship to Oxford. I had been expected to get it. I had wanted to get it very much. I wanted to go to Oxford to study. But I went over to Oxford, I sat the examinations, and I wasn't awarded a scholarship. I was very, very disappointed. And yet, looking back on that, it's one of the things that I most thank God for in my life, that I didn't get that scholarship. Because I wasn't ready to go there. And for a number of reasons, it wouldn't have been good for me to go there. It wouldn't have been for my benefit. Others could have gone safely. I couldn't have gone. It was wrong for me. And God didn't allow me to have something that I really wanted. And that was because of his kindness and his love. And God often does this in our lives. He brings disappointment. He says no to our prayers. He brings things into our lives that are unwelcome and unpleasant. And we complain and we're upset. And yet God is keeping us and preserving us. Prayer for providential keeping from temptation. And I repeat, this prayer is answered daily in multitudes of ways. You and I simply do not know what we have been protected from this past week. And then thirdly, the mark of someone who fears sin is not only wholehearted avoidance of temptation and prayer for providential keeping from temptation, but there is prayer for deliverance in the middle of temptation. God does not always keep us from temptation, from trial, for that's what the word means. Trials come. They come to test us. They come to prove us. They come to humble us. And sometimes God permits the evil one himself to test us. God never tests us, tempts us to sin, but he permits temptation to come. And when that temptation comes, we recognize our weakness to fight it. And at that moment, we have to pray, deliver us from evil. That is a moment of both danger and hope. The danger is that we simply give in. The temptation comes and we give in. We do what Satan wants us to do. That is the great excuse of the world for sin. There is no alternative. That is the devil's con trick. And yet how often we fall for it. And perhaps this past week some of us have given in to temptation. We have yielded. It has come and we have gone down before it. And that moment when temptation comes, we've tried to avoid it as much as possible. We've been conscientious, we've kept a watch over our lives, we've stayed away from occasions of sin, we've tried to walk purely, we have prayed for God's providential keeping, but in spite of all that, the temptation comes. And it comes suddenly, it comes fiercely, it comes overwhelmingly, and we realize we can't stand against it. And at that moment, we have to pray, deliver me from this evil. Deliver me from the evil one, O God. For that is the moment of danger. And if we do not pray, we will fall. You cannot stand against the devil in your own strength. Yet that moment of danger is also a moment of hope. For our awareness of our weakness should lead us to God. And we are never alone. God's ability, God's power is channeled into our lives to transform our weakness. You remember the verse we read from 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Listen to these words. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up on it, under it. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Every temptation may be resisted. As Christians, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. You have no excuse for your sin. Neither do I. You cannot say the temptation was too strong. It's not too strong for God. You cannot say I couldn't stand up against it. You could stand up against it with God. You cannot say the weakness is so ingrained into my character that I have to give in. You don't have to give in. I don't have to give in. We don't have to give in. God will not let you be tempted above what you can bear. So we can pray, deliver us. Deliver us. And when we fall, it's because we haven't prayed. So our Lord encourages us to pray these words as Satan tempts us. To pray them now and to pray them in every crisis. Lord, deliver me from the evil one. If I sin, deliver me. When I sin, deliver me. I am weak, lead me not into temptation. This petition is not for self-confident people. It's not for people who feel secure and strong. Dr. Lloyd-Jones writes, this petition is for weak sinners who do not trust themselves, who want to win the victory that overcomes the world. And we can, by Christ's strength, we can overcome temptation. We can live obedient lives. not perfectly, but characteristically obedient lives, overwhelmingly obedient lives, substantially obedient lives, if we take this prayer seriously. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do need to pray this prayer. We acknowledge it before you. We are weak. We do need to take the temptation of the devil seriously, to realize that he seeks to gain victories over us, and that we're not safe because we're in this church or because we're in a Christian home. We pray, O God, that you will help us to avoid temptation as much as possible, for our own sake, for our children's sake, for all those for whom we are responsible. There are things which we can do, O God, to minimize the temptations which assault us. Father, the world will laugh at us and think that we are strict and strange. But that doesn't matter. We know our own weakness. We know the cleverness of the enemy. Help us not to be ashamed ever to walk the narrow road that leads to life, and to say no to many of the things which the people of the world think are indispensable. Help us, Lord, to seek to be safe rather than sorry, and in our living to err on the side of caution, to stay away from the edge as far as possible. But Father, we know that this is not enough, and so we pray that your divine power may strengthen us, and at the moment when the beast of temptation grips us by the throat and we feel we have to yield, may we cry to you for deliverance. May we gain the victory through him who loved us. And Father, we thank you that in thousands of ways you are preserving us and keeping us and delivering us, protecting us day by day and night by night. So we praise you for your overarching care. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Jesus' sake, amen.